Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really good to be with you. And we appreciate all of you coming here. And I hope you appreciate what we try to provide for you. And obviously, you do. You wouldn't be here. And just let's talk about how you can expand your knowledge. You only have so many hours in the day, right? We know that. And we put things out all day long, sometimes into the evening, early morning, and you don't have the time to keep coming back. So here's what you need to do. Sign up for our newsletter. Over 50,000 people have. And what you get is a recapitulation in one email of everything we've done in the previous 24 hours. It's one-stop shopping. People love it. All you got to do is go to thecommonsenseshow.com, thecommonsenseshow.com, and you will be entered in. All you got to do is put in your email, and that same day you're going to get the recapitulation of what we do. Hey, I have an announcement to make before we start today. And that announcement is this, and it's simple. The Common Sense Show has been reinstated on YouTube, and we greatly appreciate YouTube reconsidering our appeal. They said after a review, you really didn't violate our rules, and sometimes we don't always get it right. And they were very humble in that, and they said, we have restored your channel. We greatly appreciate that, and we look forward to a prosperous, in terms of knowledge and connecting with America, a prosperous relationship with YouTube. And thank you so much for putting our channel back up. We are going to start making entries as early as this evening. And so you can check us out. And we're going to do a lot of really cool stuff there. I think you're going to enjoy it. Anyway, we are brought to you by Noble Gold. You're coming from the Noble Gold Studios. That's our overarching sponsor. All you got to do to find out more about how to protect your assets, particularly your retirement, is go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. Put in your email address. I'll send you a prospectus, and you'll see how you need to move right now to protect your assets and to maximize your investment opportunities as well. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. We've got a lot on tap here for this show. We're going to look at PTSD. We're going to look at treatment options. This is by request. People have asked me to do this with my background in mental health. And then we're going to look at the fact that America could be living on borrowed time and what we have to do to preserve our great republic. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. The show is ready to begin. And I'll tell you what we're freeing you from also, too, are the pain and the debilitating illnesses that can follow us by using the Nanosoma products. They have a three-pack, 15% off. And I wanted to feature one of the products here, too. This is the Medisomer gel, and this is what I use to put on my joints, and it's how I overcome bone on bone, right knee pain, where I was clearly headed for, well, I was going to have the knee replaced, and I was fighting against that, and fortunately, this product came along for me at the right time. I rubbed the gel on the external part. It does stimulate pluripotent stem cell development. And I'm not going to pay for an MRI, but I can tell you right now, I don't have bone on bone. 3 days ago, I did an extensive leg workout and had no pain whatsoever. Now, well, my calves, my quads, and my hamstrings, yeah. But the joint, no, it works. And then they also have the Nanosoma spray. And this is what brought me back from debilitating lung damage from RSV. A year ago, and this boosts your immune system. It doesn't cure anything, but it boosts your immune system. And you can find out more about these products by going to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. We have something by request. I've had people write to me and I've mentioned post-traumatic stress disorder a few times over the last couple of months, and we have a lot of people in our country that have this, and some of them are combat veterans, but not all. In fact, not most. And I wanted to go through, and people said, Dave, tell us more about PTSD. You got a background in mental health, you could really assist people with this. And so I'm going to break it up into different parts, though, because it's too extensive to cover all at once. And so what I thought I would do in this part would be the symptoms of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And first of all, you say, well, what is that exactly? Okay, well, they're extremely upsetting events that are outside the norm of what we deal with. And sometimes it forces us into maladaptive panic response. And this becomes a pattern. And so when we have stress, we react negatively. It can result in effects on diet, mood. It can absolutely affect your self-esteem. And it can incite feelings of powerlessness and hopelessness. And people say, do PTSD people commit suicide? Sometimes. I don't know what the frequency is anymore. I haven't read recent data. But anything that induces hopelessness is a predictor of suicide. Hopelessness is the best predictor of suicide. It's not depression. It's hopelessness as a standalone characteristic. And it's normal to have upsetting feelings and memories, feel on edge, have trouble sleeping after a bad event. But at first, it may, hard to do normal activities. That's give yourself some grace. That happens. Some people have trouble with school. Some people have trouble interacting. It's difficult. And so you say, well, who are the people we're talking about? Well, what we popularize most in our society are people who have been either in combat or in situations that they can't escape that are very, very bad. Health events can induce this as well too. But if this goes on weeks on into months, it's time to seek therapy. What are some of the characteristics that you see with PTSD? Well, some people have what we call complex traumas, and it's complex PTSD. And what that means is that many factors come together to help form what we call maladaptive or inappropriate responses to the stress. And we often overreact to a normal event in a day that takes us back and reminds us of things. Let me give you an example. There are trauma reminders. So you might have, okay, maybe somebody was raped on February 1st of 2024. And then cycle forward, it's February 1st of 2025. The anniversary effect can trigger more distress and more maladaptive responses. It's called an anniversary reaction. It's not uncommon. You see it with people too that have been through a traumatic divorce or they've lost a loved one. This was the day a year ago I lost a child. I had a spontaneous miscarriage. I mean, these are all things that add to this. Sometimes there are trauma reminders and triggers. You could be walking down the street with someone who's a combat veteran and they hear a motorcycle backfire and they dive under the nearest car. They're reliving the combat experience because of the noise that stimulates those memories for this is what I do when my life is in danger. And people look at it and go, how weird is that guy? No, it's a response the person hasn't been able to decouple from their present life with loud noises to what they went through in combat. And it's just an example. Sometimes you have what we call very young trauma survivors. Sometimes PTSD has its roots in childhood, and trauma and abuse can have impact on the very young. The attachment or bond between a child and a parent, okay, matters as the child grows. And this bond contains maladaptive things, not normal conflict, but really negative, abusive criteria. A child can grow up with this is how I respond to the world. I overrespond. And then sometimes you get into a personality disorder that we call paranoia. You're looking at the environment in terms of potential threats. And there is paranoia involved in PTSD at various levels. One of the things I think people need to know is that trauma affects school-age kids a lot more and a lot differently than adults. If one's diagnosed with symptoms of PTSD in children, okay, and teens, this is all encompassing because they haven't developed a response repertoire to handle all the stress that comes at them. So they tend to handle stress in the same way. They either tremendously underreact and don't respond to a stressor in the way most people would and deal with it, or they overreact and that gets them into some trouble sometimes. We see this too with combat veterans, and it's interesting some of the research that came out following the Vietnam War, where PTSD really began to surface. After World War II and the Korean War, we used to call it combat fatigue. I don't think psychologists really understood what they were looking at, but by the time the Vietnam War was over, we understood post-traumatic stress. So sometimes what do these soldiers do? Unable to cope with normal life that brings back triggers of memories of when their life was in danger every day, they become homeless. And often they become homeless by choice because it minimizes challenges in their mind that they have to deal with that they don't feel they're prepared to deal with. And it's tragic. And oftentimes we have a really high suicide rate with our veterans. 21 a day was the latest figure I've read. That's horrendous because they can't tune out the noises. This can affect you with your eating. It can certainly cause insomnia. And there are cases where, repatriated combat veterans will actually attack their spouse in the middle of the night because of the nightmares that PTSD can cause, and they're reacting in an aberrant way that doesn't reflect the situation they're in. And then sometimes these couples have to sleep separately. This leads to marital issues. I mean, it's really something that people need to be dealing with. What we see with PTSD in veterans are Holocaust survivor groups of whatever Holocaust and whatever country people are in. We see very similar criteria. We call it the effect on the neurovegetative habits, sleeping, eating, calm in the absence of really high stressors. Neurovegetative is almost always affected by PTSD, and it can become all-encompassing where they can't focus on sorting out details of their life, meeting challenges individually. It's one broad response, which is a panic mode. And it's really, really, really upsetting when you look at this. PTSD is hard to define in terms of when is a normal stress reaction that goes on for a period of time. When do you have to get help moving beyond it? Someone loses their partner, their spouse dies, and they go months, 4, 5, 6 months, and they're withdrawn. They have nightmares. They don't feel like eating. When you get into the months issue, then it's time to get help getting through the trauma. And getting through the help is something I'll cover a little later, but I'm going to leave you a teaser. I said this in the comment section when someone asked me, what do I do about my PTSD? Well, unfortunately, in America today, everything's about medicines. And the first reaction, if you're referred to a psychiatrist, you're going to get, take these pills to calm you down. Yeah, it might give you a zombie-like approach and you're not overreacting to stimuli in the environment, but it teaches you nothing about adaptability, problem solving, learning to differentiate what's a threat and what's not a threat, and how to appropriately respond to a non-threatening situation that might be upsetting, but it's certainly not threatening your life and should not provoke an overreaction. Cognitive behavioral therapy is really good at dealing with this. Now, I'm not saying you should never take medication, but it shouldn't be the front line of defense unless the symptoms are severe. And I always have to give this warning because Big Pharma wants everybody on drugs, whether they need them or not. Anyway, I've given you a lot to think about. We are going to look at more at PTSD, and here's why. Whenever you have a nation, as we've had, go from I can meet my family's basic needs to where we're cutting out a meal a day because our economy sucks. I don't know what the prospects of jobs are if I can keep my job because the economy sucks. I can't keep up with inflation. Things we used to be able to enjoy to do, we can no longer afford. So it cuts in the quality of family life. And when you're repetitively exposed to stress that adds up cumulatively, it can result in PTSD. It doesn't always, but it can. And I've given you some of the things to look at in terms of this. And I'm telling you, cognitive behavioral therapy, first line of defense. And we'll cover that and more the next time we cover PTSD. And I've been asked to say, Dave, with your mental health background, you should be providing shows like this so people can realize that they have options and they're not stuck in their own mental health prison. I agree with that. And I probably should bring this to bear, and I'll do a better job of giving these issues more attention than I have previously. Thank you for the suggestion for the people who've written that to me. Make sure you check out our newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com. All you got to do is go there, go to the newsletter link, put in your email address, and then you'll receive an email every day that's a recapitulation of everything we've done in the previous 24 hours. People go, Dave, it's so convenient. It's nonstop. It's one-stop shopping. There's no mystery. Everything is right there that you do. Thank you so much for doing the newsletter. By the way, if you didn't get one yesterday, it's because we put nothing out. Yours truly, as I announced earlier, had the sheer joy of a 4-hour passing of a kidney stone. And they didn't do some of the intervention techniques, which would be they can be really invasive. And so I just kind of white knuckled it through until it was over. Now they had disagreement. What caused Dave to have this? Was it a kidney stone? Was it a spastic bladder? There's all these theories. I think because of the quick cessation of pain that I had, went from 10 to 1, I passed a kidney stone. And one medical professional agreed. Two others who treated me that day did not agree. It was a kidney stone. And I got to tell you, it's the worst feeling I've ever had. Don't wish it on anybody. So, newsletter didn't go out yesterday, but it's going out today. It'll go out tomorrow. It'll go out the next day. And if I don't have any more physical trauma for a while, you'll get it every day. TheCommonSenseShow.com. Put in your email address and you'll receive it the same day. And what a lot of you don't know is your cell phone could be killing you. Oh, there is a long list of even notable people, John McCain, Ted Kennedy, who died from things like glioblastoma, brain cancer. And it happened to appear on those individuals exactly where they hold their cell phone when they talk. You need protection, and it's the EMF that does the damage. And the people at Bodyline have developed a patch put on the back of your phone. It's small, it's not invasive, barely noticeable, but it negates the EMF. 30-day money-back guarantee, nothing to risk. I have to tell you right now, this works. We all use it. You should all use it. Go to bodyaline.com. That's ALIGN, bodyaline.com/Dave Hodges. Bodyaline.com/Dave Hodges. Have an interesting situation here I want to do. I've received now more than a couple of requests for information on PTSD, and I thought I would just give you a brief self-assessment quiz, and I'm going to help you talk about to yourself the symptoms by helping you self-evaluate as I go through and ask you a series of questions. Okay, so let's get ready. Let's do this. Do you currently exhibit symptoms of depression or have previously received a diagnosis of depression? And what we know is symptoms of depression include persistent low mood, decreased enjoyment in previously enjoyed activities, impaired sleep, changes in appetite, fatigue, and irritability. Do you have that? So let's record that yes or no. Okay. And I got to tell you could even see some of these things in PET scans. Absolutely fantastic as you go through this. The other thing that we wanted to ask you here that I want to do for self-assessment, let me show you something here that I think people should consider when they're self-evaluating for PTSD. And what we have here is this. Depression occurs in underactive regions of the brain, in particular a region of the brain behind your forehead called the prefrontal cortex. And by activating the prefrontal cortex nerves thousands of times, neural connections are strengthened. That's an active brain. Depression is the opposite of someone being active and strengthening these connections. The process is similar to neural mechanisms involved in mastering a skill. The more you do it, the better you are at it. Now, look at this right here. Here's a PET scan. Normal brain on the left. You see the increased activity illustrated by the yellows in various different colors. Okay. Now, if you look at the brain on the right, we see a depressed brain. Activity refers to blood sugar, metabolism, oxygen, and blood flow, and they're strikingly absent in the depressed brain. Now, one of the things that are very controversial, the SSI drugs that people are given are supposed to stimulate the brain on the right to become like the brain on the left with increased neural activity. I have to tell you, I'm not a big believer in SSIs. I'm not. re-up it, what they call reuptake inhibitors. I'm not a big fan, but I recognize they're useful with extremely depressed people. I don't think it should be a matter of normal course of treatment. That's just my personal bias from what I've seen. But you could be evaluated. You go to your doctor and say, "Doc, I'm not sleeping good. And these are all precursors, by the way, to PTSD. I'd like to be evaluated here." And when we see a depressed brain, a lot of times we'll see PTSD. It's an associated feature. And it's something that people really, really need to take seriously. Another thing that we look at here is enjoyment in life. When we look at PTSD, and people can go through a hard time, but they still manage to escape into things and hobbies and activities they enjoy doing. You know, whether it's golfing or weightlifting or hiking or woodworking, knitting, whatever the hobby or activity is, there's still escapism and enjoyment in that activity. So people are often asked to evaluate to what degree are you getting enjoyment out of leisurely or previously enjoyed activities. When we see people that are withdrawing from things that they previously enjoyed, it is a symptom of two things here. One, it can be an early symptom of depression and withdrawal, but also too, with PTSD, the person is so consumed with perceived threatening stimuli to the person that they're not able to relax enough to enjoy these activities. And this is a counterbalance. This is why I'm telling you, when you go into retirement and you stop working, you better have counterbalancing activities that are designed to lift your spirit, make you feel good. And it's something that everyone should have. The best predictor of death in a man is retirement, 6 months within retirement. You have leisurely activities that you enjoy. Yeah. It's a buffer for a lot of mental illness and a lot of psychosocial conditions. It's something that we really don't pay enough attention to. Are you having fun in your life? That is really the central feature here. Are there activities that you still enjoy? And it's something that I think people really need to take a hard look at. The withdrawal from activities is very, very concerning. So when we take a look at all of this, what does this begin to tell us? Do you have the mental reserve and capacity to handle stress by engaging in alternative thinking and activities? And this is often what you look at in treatment. Cognitive behavioral therapy, which I mentioned in the last installment in this, is something that gets you to look at a stimuli that's in your face. How are you going to respond to it? If you do A, and you actually teach person how to do this decision tree, if you do solution A, is it going to make the situation more emotional? Is it going to cause problems for you in relationships, patterns at work, whatever it would be? Or if you do B and have a different response, how will that affect your life? And you get the person to calm down and you get them to think, okay, I have a choice here in how I respond. One, let's take the panic out of things because PTSD often excites the fight or flight mechanism, you know, when we're in panic mode. And so you get the person just to breathe, take in a deep breath, hold it, let it out slowly. You can even do some mental imaging, like go to your favorite place in your mind, like go to the beach, or maybe you're imagining being involved in an activity. For me, it would be a fairway drive of 250 yards or further. There it goes. Beautiful sunny day. Look at that beautiful green grass out there. And these are images I'll tell myself to calm myself down. Now that I'm calm, I have a choice on how I respond. And a good therapist will walk people through a decision tree, and they're often cognitive behavioral therapists. And what they say is, okay, if you do the first response, what's likely to happen? Talk about the impact on your family. How's it going to make you feel? How does this affect your relationships and performance at work? You get to process all this. If you do B, you ask the same questions. And so people can begin to train their brain to slow down, calm down, and then make the most adaptive response. And there's homework assignments you can do too. A lot of therapists will write out, you know, prescription of things to do. Here's the scenario. This happens to you. And it could be related to the person's trauma that's a trigger for the PTSD. Okay, now what are the choices you have? Based on your analysis, what's the best option to take? And so these homework assignments can be very valuable in terms of reinforcing. Now, the brain's an interesting thing. Biologists tell us it takes about 270 repetitions to form a habit. Now, that's average, depending on the situation and the variable involved, but about 270. Good therapists will actually have the person do about that amount of time. And I'll tell you something else where I learned this about the 270. I asked one time an older person, and I was training for college basketball, and I asked an older person, how many shots should I shoot a day in the off season? And this one guy who had gone on played a little bit in the NBA, and he said, Dave, I would say about 300 a day. Boy, was his instincts good. 300 a day, you form the neural pathways, you establish repetition patterns that your brain can respond to. You could do the same thing in decision making with PTSD. And then there's a principle in psychology called extinction. If you don't pay attention to it and ignore it, that factor tends to diminish and even disappear. So if you don't feed the panic, PTSD, oh, I'm on edge. And you substitute the PTSD feelings of extreme emotionality, fear, apprehension, paranoia, whatever it would be, and you replace it with feelings of calm and adaptive response selection, you begin to put the PTSD response into what we call extinction. Behaviors that we pay attention to, that we reinforce, tend to increase. Behaviors that we ignore tend to diminish or go away. And these are real key factors in any cognitive behavioral therapy approach. Now, I'd mentioned medications before in a previous installment in PTSD. Do they work? If the person is incapable of calming themselves down to make more adaptive responses, sometimes medication can be helpful. But unfortunately, we live in a society where we hand out very serious medications that can have profound side effects, and we hand these out like they're candy. And that's a mistake. And I often say, don't start your therapy for PTSD with a psychiatrist unless you have very severe presenting symptoms where you're not able to get to even step one of forming more adaptive responses. If that's the case, sometimes medication is needed. But if your doctor automatically refers you to a psychiatrist, you're going to go down the medication path first, last, and always. I always say get with a practitioner who's either a counselor or a counseling psychologist. So you got master's degree first one, you got PhD with clinical training in the second. And I would do psychiatrist as the path of least. The option of last resort is what I should say. And that's the progression I would use. I tell the doctor, look, I want to deal with this without medication as much as possible. That's almost heresy to some doctors because of the way that they're trained in medical school. Everything is cut it out, burn it out, or poison it. And as soon as you want to use the power of the mind to try to form a more adaptive response, they recoil at that. It's like telling them you're taking vitamins and that's why you feel better. They don't want to hear that either. It's everything out of their paradigm that they've been trained in. But you can tell your doctor, look, I've done some research on this, and I think I'd benefit most from talk therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy. So a counselor or a counseling psychologist is really where I'd like to start. And if you go to one of these professionals, and maybe their specialty CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, which, by the way, the insurance companies love, because it's been shown to be more brief and more effective in applications for things like this. So insurance companies usually don't have trouble approving these types of visits with a therapist that says, this is my perspective on how I deal with these problems. And if you present to these people and you have very severe symptoms, they'll refer you to the psychiatrist. They'll be able to make the determination. Oftentimes your doctor can't. And the worst thing I ever saw, and I had this happen to a family member, she was feeling kind of down and she was aging and had health problems. That's enough to get anybody down. Immediate response was to write a prescription from a doctor, not a psychiatrist, for antidepressant medication. Total malpractice. Total. I hope this helps. I hope I got you thinking about If you know you have it, or you suspect you have it, what do you do? The different types of therapy. We've talked about medication versus cognitive behavioral. And then also, too, where you start in the treatment process. Where's your first point of entry? And again, if it's severe, it probably is a psychiatrist. If your symptoms are not severe but uncomfortable, the other approach that I mentioned is really where you want to start. I hope this helps. And you may not be affected by this, but if you know people who are, you may want to pass this along. This isn't meant to be the Bible of how to deal with it. It's to stimulate thinking to make you realize that you have options that you can deal with. And I want to present some of those options for you. PTSD in this country is growing, and resulting suicides are growing exponentially in our society. We are a country that is hurting. And I think one of the reasons that Donald Trump got elected, he threw a lifeline. He goes, I see your problems. I'm going to work on these things for you. We have good, positive leadership. But for some people, the political solution in waiting for the economy to turn around and job opportunities to appear, you might need help before that occurs. And that's why I presented this to you. Hope you found it beneficial. If you know someone that could benefit from it, please share this with them. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com, and in thecommonsenseshow.com, you'll see a link for the newsletter, and you just put your email in, and you'll get a recapitulation of everything we do in that 24-hour period. I think you'll enjoy it. Thecommonsenseshow.com newsletter, put your email in, and you'll be part of the family. Over 50,000 people do this. We'll see you back here next time. God bless. Man, oh man, oh man. Are we really up against a lot of things right now? And I thank the Lord last night for the leadership that President Trump has appointed. They are making great inroads, and it's just the beginning. I mean, it's a small part of what needs to be done. But for the first time since Ronald Reagan, have I felt we're moving in the right direction as a country. And if you noticed, last night, President Trump gave praise to the Lord for saving his life. And we are definitely moving in the right direction. And I think we should all take a moment and praise the Lord for the second chance and maybe the last chance we're going to be given. And I really believe, people, that it comes down to it's either Babylon or Nineveh. And if you don't know your biblical history, very quickly, let me tell you, Babylon fell into hedonistic ways. If they were a modern society, they'd have been cutting kids' genitals off, giving 12-year-old girls puberty blockers. Yeah, they were terrible. They were awful, and they didn't repent. Then Nineveh, largest, most affluent, advanced society of its time, and they were falling into hedonism and sin, and they got a chance. Repent. Well, Nineveh survived. God forgave them. Babylon was destroyed. We have a choice, ladies and gentlemen. We have a choice. And I want to really emphasize to you the choice that you have. And I said this the other day, and Doug said it too on the show. John B. Wells said it to me when he interviewed me 2 nights ago. We're all seeing it. The redemptive power in Jesus Christ to restore a nation and make us happy, make us more whole, make us more civilized. And everything says this is where we need to go. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was the scientific research coming out and now data being released from the Vatican. And I was kind of shocked. And I don't know if the details of the story are 100% accurate because they come from man. Not questioning biblical scripture here, I'm questioning man's interpretation. But what we're hearing about now is the Vatican has records of people being dragged to hell and portals to get opened. And those are the words of Vatican documents. And I look at that and I'm just, wow, that's amazing. It reminds me of when Art Bell used to interview the great Malachi Martin, who was murdered for revealing secrets, and some of the secrets are what I just said. Hell is real. The devil is real. And you can be as agnostic or as atheistic as you want, but the data is beginning to come out. Qualitative data in some case, which means descriptive, not statistical, but nonetheless, we're moving in the direction of realizing there is real evil on this planet. Now, from a Christian perspective, the planet is inherently evil because this is where Satan was cast after his failed rebellion against God. This is his planet. It's evil. We are here to meet the challenge, and we know what that means. Conversion, confession, and conscription. You conscript yourself. No one else conscripts you, but you serve the Almighty. And the consequence is hell. And I believe we get shown these images, have these experiences, near-death experiences are another good thing that we talk about here. And a lot of people will descend to hell and then rise to heaven in their near-death experience. And they say, yeah, it's different. This changed my life. People who never even gave a thought about how they live their daily lives spiritually are basically reformed, and they conform to the new belief system when they come back. One of the things I've really developed a fascination with is near-death experiences and how they relate to scripture. And some of them I look at and I go, yeah, I think this is confabulation and I don't believe it. But a lot of these experiences, I go, well, okay, they're quoting the book of John. Oh, this is in Revelation. And it's just amazing what you see with this. But I want to leave you with this. We are living in a potential golden age with this new administration. We have a chance. We really do. But the faith does not reside in this administration. The faith is the administration's ability to conform to the Word of God and stick to biblical principles. That is what will make us successful. And so you say, well, what do I pray for? You pray that your leaders are godly, and not that they can't make mistakes. But for the first time since I was a very young man, do I feel any part of government's on my side? Oh, I've seen good politicians come and go. I have. But I haven't seen a movement come and go. And I'm stuck in my brain with this one phrase. Hi, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And Ronald Reagan said, we need to reject that. Today, I think we need to question everything that comes our way. But I honestly feel that much of what's happening right now in government is helping you and me. When we identify waste, fraud, and abuse in government, people collecting paychecks for not working, people that can't even put down five things they did in the last week to justify their position and their enormous salary and benefits and job protection. If they can't do that, they don't deserve to have the job. I can name five things I do in the first hour of my working day. And I know you can too. And five things, that's all you have to do. And then the Democrats have a fit because people who aren't doing anything with our money get fired. It's about accountability. And it's about accountability too in Ukraine. $350 billion and 58% of it is missing. And again, the Tucker Carlson story about encountering rich Ukrainians in the Swiss Alps, where you can spend $1 million a day and they're armed with American money. I've had enough. I've had enough. To hell with Zelensky. Take your peace deal. You lost. And I'm going to say this to the Europeans. You are an equal partner in this conflict. Yes, Putin was the aggressor. But when you threaten to have NATO membership for Ukraine and put missiles aimed at Moscow on the border of Russia, what did you think was going to happen? What did you think? And then they say, well, Putin's just after the riches in the eastern part of the. Okay. When you go to war, you look at the plus minus. There's no doubt that was a factor. But would the war have happened without NATO provocation? I don't think so. The European Union is evil. And today they're approaching, in my mind, the direction of China. I'm not saying they're China yet, but they're moving in that direction. I mean, in Britain right now, if you post something on YouTube that is a negative comment, or you do it on Facebook, it's a negative comment about a political opponent, opposing political party, an issue, they're kicking in your door and taking you to jail. You get arrested because if you're walking down the street and they come up and they say, "Are you praying?" And if you admit that you were, you go to jail. We've seen that on video. Britain is becoming an evil empire. The European Union is becoming an evil empire. And some people argue it already is. And to you people of Europe, you need to hear me and hear me clearly. When we hear comments that say Britain will use nuclear weapons to protect Canada from the United States, Britain is threatening to nuke us. So when 3 days ago I said Britain is not your friend, we need to withdraw all aid from the UK totally, because their leaders threatened nuclear war against the United States if we don't fall into line. There's no other way to interpret that. These people are your enemy. Stramer, he's your enemy. He's a joke. The people running the European Union are a joke. The Bank of International Settlement that runs all the central banks in the world, they are a joke. They are evil. They want your demise. They want you to stick to their fiat currency they know will fail and stay away from precious metals. And they give their banks the right to steal your money, and they do. And they will. So you say, "Well, what are you saying, Dave?" I'm saying, first of all, when I look at international monetary policy right now and how it manifests in the Federal Reserve, the Dodd-Frank law comes right into play. They will steal your damn retirement, and there's nothing you can do about it except pick up the pitchfork, and I don't recommend that. So what are you going to do? Well, there's the ad for Noble Gold. You're going to call Noble Gold, and you're going to say, "Hey, I got a 401k, I got an IRA in the bank. And I keep hearing this Hodges guy talk about Dodd-Frank 2010. Can they really keep it? And can you do anything for me?" And the answer to both questions is yes and yes. You need to do this. These people are not your friend. The European Union is your enemy. Now, Donald Trump is not saying that directly, but his actions show it. He's withdrawn aid, military aid for Ukraine. He's basically saying to Europe, "You want the war? Fine. You fund it, you get the weapons. We're not helping you go to World War III." These people don't care about their citizens. They don't care about you. They don't care about the future of the planet. They want what they want in the moment because they're infantile and they are evil. And the sooner you recognize this is not inflammatory rhetoric, that this is an accurate depiction of what I am seeing and what anyone who has eyes to see is seeing, we need to separate from the European Union with this leadership. They're suicidal. I'll give you an example. In 2014, I published a chart and I said, "I doubt that Russia will go to war with Europe or Europe go to war with Russia, but we're on the edge." But you know the reason I said that? Oh, because Germany gets 42% of its natural gas from Russia. Russia needs the business. France was like in the high 30s, Britain was in the mid 30s. I said, "They're not going to war with Russia. Let's solve the Ukraine problem when it surfaced then." Remember the Crimea deal? When it surfaced then, I said, "We have a chance to fix this because both sides need each other." But no, they had other objectives than the heating of their homes for their citizens. They don't care if you freeze to death as long as they get what they want. You people in Germany, you already know this. I don't really like who you elected, but you elected someone outside their mainstream. Because you see, they don't care about you. And the UK is the worst. It's the fastest rising evil empire in the world. And I used to look at the UK and the Brits as our friends, our closest allies. We go back to World War II. We were married together at the hip. We would either rise or fall in World War II, and we rose. That partnership no longer exists. Their leadership hates you. They hate Donald Trump. They hate MAGA. They love globalism. They love one world government. They love the elimination of all your civil liberties and the ability to control your money under a social credit system and punish you if your views don't fall into line with theirs. And I hope that you're taking this seriously, because there ain't no going back with the leadership that's in the UK. The people need to have a new Magna Carta, and they need to force this government out by any means necessary. Did you hear what I said? When you get to the point where you're jailing people for the expression of an opinion that doesn't threaten anybody, you need to resort to what led to the Magna Carta, which was force, Now, force can take the form of violence, which I don't actively advocate unless it's in self-defense, or it can take the form of non-compliance. And I think the Brits ought to say, we're staying and quitting. It's what's going on in China. It's what's paralyzing the Chinese government. An estimated 70% of the young adults in China want nothing to do with their system, and they're dropping out. And they have a phrase in Chinese that means let it rot, meaning the government. Well, in Britain, they need to let it rot. In France, you ain't far behind. You got a pervert in Macron. You got a man who wants to take you to nuclear war, and he doesn't care how many of you die. Both France and Britain have implanted massive amounts of people that don't fit into the society through illegal immigration, special benefits. In Germany, when this first happened, remember about 12 years ago, they started kicking their citizens out of apartments to make room for the illegal migrants. You call that a representative government? Who do they represent? The globalists. And what do they want? Enslavement. Are you getting the message? You need to rise above and take a 30,000-foot view of what the hell is going on. In the meantime, you better let Noble Gold protect your assets. And there's also investment opportunities too. And that leads me to the federal warning that I'm obligated to give. Past performance can't be construed with future expectation, and there are no guarantees. And I know that. But I've also been a customer of Noble Gold for over 7.5 years, as well as an advertiser for 8.5 years. And I would really highly recommend that you allow me to send you a free information packet, DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. Put your email in. You'll get it right out, and you'll be able to see it. It's simple, easy to read, and it goes into more detail on what I gave you. Now is the time to protect yourself from the globalists. You know, we just end up cashing out an account that by law we're required to do. And so we had a little bit of cash sitting around. It was not an enormous amount of money, but to us, it was a lot of money. It wasn't to a lot of people, but we decided, what are we going to do with it? It ain't going into the bank. Gold and silver purchases is what we're focusing on. We need to be independent of the potential collapse of the dollar. Donald Trump may not be able to prevent this because of the cancer of the Biden administration that willfully and purposefully destroyed this country. This was an energy-based economy, and Biden took away 95% of all energy production. What the hell did you think was going to happen? And now we're there. And Trump is trying to rescue us from the depths of depression. This is why he's fascinated with gold. And he's using phrases like a new golden age. What's in Fort Knox? And then those little rumblings about we got to back the dollar with precious metals. We have no choice. And even then, I think we're going to go through a lot of pain for 6 months to a year. I hope Trump can bring us out before the midterm with regard to price reduction, with regard to balancing the budget, because the midterm is our next biggest threat. And if you want to fall into total tyranny and be a nation like the UK, then let the Democrats take over the House and the Senate. They will impeach Trump and they will end MAGA. And the persecution of people like you and me will begin in earnest. And there are no limits to what these people won't do. You mean they could be like the Nazis? I think they could be worse than the Nazis. Did you see their behavior last night at Trump's speech? Did you see the infantile displays of emotion? And I loved it because Trump wouldn't take their crap. Every time he had a chance, he took a dig at them for their behavior by saying, "You did this to this country. You wrecked the economy. You put young girls in sports at risk by allowing men to play in their sports." He was fantastic. I'm going to talk about his speech a little later today. It was an A to Z masterclass, and I think it was Trump's best performance. Now it's up to us to have our best performance. Republic form of democracy is a participation sport. It's an activity that you either engage in or you risk losing your rights. Thomas Jefferson said we need to have a revolution every 20 years. He didn't mean we picked up the guns and started shooting. He means we need to have a revival like a MAGA movement. And then if that doesn't work, then you pick up the guns. That's what he was saying. And he's right. John Adams believed the same thing. Even Alexander Hamilton, who was the liberal of the day, he believed the same thing. Your life will only be as good as your country helps you to make it. You can be totally independent and you might get through, but your odds greatly increase when the government's on your side. Let me ask you this question. Does it look like Biden was on your side? Or does it look like Trump is on your side? And if you say Trump, you better get on board, Team MAGA. You better get to work. And I'm warning you, protect your assets in these volatile times. DaveHodgesGold.com. God bless all of you. Today I looked out, the sun was just a little bit brighter. My outlook was a little bit happier. And I'm optimistic because we finally have someone who gives a crap about you and me. We'll see you back here next time. Make sure you check out our newsletter. Dave's newsletter? Yeah, that one. Yeah. Over 50,000 people. And they get an email once a day that contains everything we've done in the previous 24 hours. And people go, man, this is convenient. Thank you for doing this. Now, yesterday, we didn't have any output. Why? Because yours truly was in the ER passing a kidney stone. And I don't know if you ever know about the pain of passing a kidney stone. It was 4 hours of sheer joy. And when I was done, it was home to the bed and not to move very much. Today, I'm much better. Although I know I've been through an ordeal, I feel like I've run a marathon, is what I feel like. I'm not joking. It was an incredible experience. And I wouldn't even wish that experience I had on Pocahontas, who I loved how Trump pointed her out. Oh, was she pissed? And I wouldn't wish this on anybody. Chuck Schumer, Kamala, Doug, I'll take your lithium M off at any cost. I don't wish that on anybody. It was an awful experience. Worst pain I ever had. And my pain tolerance is generally pretty good because, and I've had to have dental work, and local anesthetics don't work on me very well. So I have to kind of like grin it and bear it and use self-hypnotic techniques. Something I should probably tell you about how you can do that. But I've been through pain. I've been through nothing like this. And of course, my female nurse, interesting, randomly, her husband is a friend of mine through basketball. Yeah. Small world. And she said, man, Dave, it's kind of like labor. I thought, okay, you got your female comment in. Thank you. I can't relate to that comment. What I can relate to is the training I would do when I was in martial arts, and you put your hand behind your head and they're pounding away at your stomach to toughen your midsection. So when you get hit in a fight, you don't drop your hands and get your head knocked off. And that was challenging. Oh, boy, your ribs, your gut would sometimes hurt for a week. And that was, oh boy, here we go again. Yesterday was worse. That's why there was no presentation yesterday. I just said, I'm blowing it off, taking the day off, put a rerun up on our radio stations. I just couldn't do it. Now, I'm back in the seat. We're continuing. And on our newsletter, you'll get that once a day. Also, check out, we're making three releases today on our TV. It's a three-part series. And then we're looking at some really, really, really interesting things. I'm looking into the legends of Atlantean descendants. Yeah, we've looked at Lemuria in the old historical documents and the maps. Now we're looking at their competitor, Atlantis. Oh, Knights Templar come into play. And the people who have maintained the Knights Templar organizations, different names, but they've maintained it, like Timothy Hogan, they say major stuff is coming our way with technology and riches. And the people that follow the Lemurian legends, different people are saying exactly the same thing. Sarah Westall and I did a show on that. And I think we may have to do a show on the Atlanteans. It's interesting. And that's kind of what you get when you go to the commonsenseshow.tv. Plus, you get our interviews and our geopolitics. It's interesting. Sign up today. We'll see you back here next time. God bless everybody. And God bless MAGA. God bless America.